Hi, this is Dave Morris, recording for Hacker Public Radio, and I'm here in South Morningside in Edinburgh, interviewing two people, one of whom is my son Tim and his friend, and I'd like you to introduce yourselves, Tim.
My name's Tim Morris, I'm Dave's son. I study music full-time as a student at Napier University in Edinburgh. I'm currently finished my second year and going into my third, and I specialize in composition.
My name is John Pavlik. I am a resident of Michigan, USA, and I am a full-time software developer and .NET, all that sort of stuff, and I'm over here on holiday.
So you guys have been friends for a number of years. How did you actually meet in the first place?
Oh, well, it was a while ago. It was in 2006, and I think John had posted a post on an online forum called Internet DJ, of all things, asking for someone to do a collaboration with him. And at this time, I'd been producing for a couple of years beforehand, and I really wasn't getting anywhere very fast, in my opinion. So I thought a collaboration would really help me pick up some more techniques to use.
Little did Tim know that I posted that thread in the collaboration sub forum because I was even more of a rank amateur than he, having only, you know, been using the software for about 6 months and with no real formal musical training or talent to speak of. I was hoping to get, you know, paired up with someone with, you know, all kinds of experience that would show me how to crank out the number ones in a pretty timely fashion. So that was kind of what I was going for. But Tim was the only person who responded to the thread. So I thought, well, we'll see where it goes. So I listened to some of his music on his profile and I thought, oh, this kid's a pro. And so a friendship was forged.
I think really the skill levels were quite matched. And I think that's why we ended up doing so much work together and ended up becoming friends, because our skills set matched pretty much perfectly at that time, well, music production wise, but and we shared a lot of similar views, but our backgrounds were just completely different, really.
I don't think we realized how different until this week.
Actually, yeah. There's a lot of things which you don't mention in instant messenger or online. I mean, a lot of details that end up being unsaid.
So you spent quite a lot of time communicating with one another outside the music context, did you?
Well, we say that it all started from a collaboration, mm-hmm. but the amount of collaborations we actually finished was over the 7 years or so that we've known each other. I think we finished maybe two, and most of the other time it's just been chatting. Yeah. So
right, we did finish a few pieces. But we really didn't. We're not much of completionists, I suppose. What happened is that we started talking and we realized that we had a lot in common, despite the distance and the completely different cultures and the completely different backgrounds. We did have a lot in common, and we were going through some of the same stuff. You know, both being teenagers, both being in high school, mm-hmm. both trying to find ourselves and our way in the world.
And, socially awkward as well.
Socially awkward. I wasn't going to mention that, but
I'm sorry.
Okay. I suppose this is a hacker
kids together,
sort of thing. So,
yeah. So, what type of music was it then? What's your main interest, or is it very wide?
Well, it matched up, I would say, back then. Definitely more than it does now.
Yes.
We both like trance music a lot back then,
okay.
And And I guess we were both trying to replicate it, but in different ways and in using different approaches. I remember when we first were doing collaboration, you were banned from using kick drums
in other tracks.
So.
Yes. I grew up in a somewhat oppressive religious environment, and it was a bit more extreme than probably was healthy. And my mother at the time had banned me from using any sort of percussion, really, because she thought that it was the work of the devil. So I was trying to write trance tracks without kick drums, and that was a bit of an exercise, trying to find a sense of rhythm and propulsion without using any frequencies below, like, 200 hertz was, well, quite frankly, impossible.
One of our first collaborations, though, it indeed doesn't have any kick drums throughout the whole thing, and it really did make us think outside the box, because, I mean, like you were saying, like, the huge part of the trance genre is having a constant 4/4 beat the whole time that people can dance to, and you can mix two tracks together with, and we had none of that. It was...
Yeah, it wasn't like we were trying to write ambient or something where we wouldn't have needed any percussion. We were trying to write dance music without.
Yeah.
It'd be like trying to dice an onion without a knife. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So how did things develop from there? Did that take you off into different music genres or what?
I would say that a big part of being an electronic musician, especially in the internet age, is that you are constantly exposed to new ideas and new styles of music and new ways of thought. And that, I mean, we've both kind of been all over the shop in different directions over the years.
We started out on pretty much the same road, but there were so many developments and trends and different paths that we ended up taking, that now we both still enjoy electronic music a lot. But it's that our tastes are wildly different, really.
Like if you compared our iPods together, I think you might find about maybe 3 or 4 artists that would be the same, and that would all be from a very specific time period, in probably 2007, 2008, when the whole blog music thing was really big, and 90% of my music was stuff that Tim sent me over GTalk, and I downloaded and kept.
Yeah, I know Tim's moved away from trance because I seem to have all his collection in my house still.
Yeah.
So your friendship just kept on and sort of seemed to grow, I guess. And as an outside observer, I just knew you, Tim, were constantly mentioning, "Oh, I said such and such to John today, and John said so and so," and so it developed until November 2011. Tell us what happened then.
Right. Well, our relationship really just transcended music very quickly because, like we're saying, we had so much in common, and we basically kept ourselves updated throughout all the things that are happening through our lives. You know, I went to college and did full time music for the first time, and then went on to uni, while John was.
Doing all sorts of things. I went to college for a bit and moved out of the house and met a girl, and it was just kind of a whirlwind. I mean, through high school, I'd say that most of the time we spent together was during high school, because we both really didn't have schedules or anything major going on. We'd come home, I'd come home from school and sign into GTalk, and there would be Tim, and he'd be like, "Hey, what's up?" And I'd be like, "Hey, man." And he'd be like, "Hey, I just got a Dreamcast, and it's the best thing ever." I'd be like, "Whoa, what's a Dreamcast?" And he'd be like, "You know, the Sega one from the 90s. You know, and it was just like this, it was just, we both really had, at least I know myself, I had trouble fitting in with my peers. So our friendship was kind of like 90% of my social life, if not more. It was a breath of normalcy and acceptance, you know.
That's amazing, yeah. So in November, you got married, John.
I did.
November 2000.
I married the girl. And I was thinking, you know, who can I have be my best man? Because I had moved away from the area I grew up in. And at the time, I didn't really feel particularly close with any of my schoolmates. We never really got on that well, to be honest. And I thought, well, I wonder if Tim would be up for a trip over. I mean, I wonder if that would be too much to ask of a person that I've never actually met in real life to be my best man, but he's kind of the only person qualified. He's one of the few people in my life right now that I've known for any length of time. I mean, I've known Tim longer than I've known my wife.
Wow. That's amazing.
And fortunately, he said, yeah, sure. I said, are you serious? And he's like, yeah, absolutely. It'd be great. And it was, actually.
It was quite a trip, that, Tim.
Yeah, yeah, I went over for 10 days. I think I arrived probably about a week before the wedding. So I was in kind of last stages of getting everything sorted for the wedding. So in that time, we did get through a couple of rehearsal dinners and mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff. And John was still working before his wedding right until the very last day. Well, music wasn't a very big part of that, but I think that's reflected. That reflects our whole relationship, really. That it was based on music, and it still is based on music. Mm-hmm. But it really becomes so much other, so many other things as well.
Yeah, yeah, that's fantastic. And John, you were saying that your outlook was changed quite a lot by having a foreign friend. Really.
Yeah, it was. Tim exposed. I grew up in a very insular and segregated community, and Tim was very different from that. He was a bit more, I guess, worldly wise, I suppose. I never knew that people were interested in fashion, and I never knew that people were, you know, I don't know. It was just very different. I was used to, I guess, people that were very boring and didn't really do a lot outside of going to church and partaking in religious ceremony. And Tim he introduced me to a lot of interesting things, and we had a lot of interesting discussions about philosophy. And I mean, we're 16 and discussing philosophy, so it was probably pretty basic. But to me at the time, I had never been exposed to anything like that. And I don't know, it was very different. And just, you know, talking to, in some of the words too, he told me, oh, I went out and bought a jumper. In the States, a jumper is a dress worn by, you know, little girls in kindergarten. That and I was like, well, why is Tim buying jumpers? Is this normal? And you know, when it was actually just a jacket. So yeah, it was interesting to do that and to meet someone from another place and to get to know them. Yeah.
So you were saying to me earlier this week that. Your coming over to the UK was something of a big leap in comparison to many people in your part of the States.
Yeah.
So did you put that down to your friendship with Tim?
Oh, absolutely. Just like the mindset that seems to be more common over here, and that I picked up from him a bit, is that the world is a really big place that deserves to be traveled and explored. And I feel like traveling is a bit more common over here than it is in the States, where people are more than content to, you know, go to school for 20 years, work for 40, live for another 20 on a pension, and then just die. And I don't know, America seems to, at least my little part of the Midwest, seems to be very comfortable in staying there mm-hmm. and not exploring mm-hmm. much or not doing anything uncomfortable. So, yeah, I would say that for sure.
Yeah, yeah. So have you felt about being over in the UK? What's your impression overall?
I really like it a lot. It's very different from what I'm used to, but I've noticed a lot of things are really efficient, really well done. The public transportation system in Edinburgh is really nice. Mm-hmm. Everyone seems to be more eco-friendly, more interested in preserving the environment, and not in a look at me, I'm a soccer mom, trying the latest trend sort of way. Really in a, I would really like to be living on this earth for another several millennia sort of way.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's kind of cool too. It's a bit more sustainable over here.
Yeah.
And the food's amazing.
Wow. That's not what you expect to hear. People usually say British food is rubbish.
Yeah. You should have seen his face when we introduced him to the half pizza supper, which is, if anyone doesn't know, it's a frozen pizza usually of the cheap variety, which is cut in half and then deep fried, and you serve it with chips, and it's called a supper. So
I've got to say, that's probably the most American thing I've ever heard of.
It wasn't
fried pizza.
You got right at home, man.
Right after I ate that, I strongly considered going out and getting an eagle tattoo on my bicep.
yeah. So what about, going back to the music, have you been writing any, collaborating on anything recently?
Well, we do try things. I mean, it's, and I don't think, I don't think a long period of time, like a half a year goes by without us attempting something. But the amount of commitments that, well, especially John has, and we both have, means that, that doing something where we're both too far apart and things move really quite slowly, it means that it's hard to be motivated for a long period of time if you're working on a track for a very long period of time. Because, I mean, we both work in a similar way, which is getting it done, like the base work done and sorted in a very short, condensed period of time, and then putting the finishing touches on it later on.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really important to preserve that momentum that you get when you first start exploring an idea, because if you can't get most of a track written in the first few studio sessions, then it just usually ends up rotting and never being finished, and you start to hate it because you've heard it so much and you don't know what to add.
Yeah,
but it's really been nice because we didn't have time. I was about to get married the last time I saw Tim. There was no time to work on anything. And we tried a few different times, but we really didn't have any time to sit down for hours at a time and be like, "All right, we're gonna record some stuff. We're gonna make it happen."
Yeah.
But since I've been over here, we've actually had a little bit of time to work on some material, and it's gone really well. And we're pretty close with finishing a track that I think is probably the nicest sounding thing I've ever worked on, to be completely honest. And it's been cool to see that our workflow we can both work so well together and so quickly. And I don't know, it felt very natural. It wasn't like, okay, so what are you going to do? What am I going to do? One of us will sit at the computer and one of us will sit at the keyboard, and then after a bit we'll swap, and it works really well.
It's never for a lack of ideas that things don't get finished. It's for a lack of time.
Yeah. For sure. The fact that during this week that you've been here, John, you're just living up the road from Tim's flat.
Yeah.
You've been able to get up early and come down here and do stuff together. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's really good. That's really good. They should have had a longer holiday and you could have produced.
I keep telling them that. Yeah.
I'm convinced now that that it might be a wise investment to save up a good bit of money and then take a leave of absence for a few months, and just stay over here and maybe explore some other parts of Europe as well. Because I mean, this is my first time really properly being out of the country, out of the States, and the world seems so much bigger now.
Yeah.
So I definitely would like to do that at some point within the next few years.
Cool. So, to wind up then, is there anything that we can point the listeners at in terms of your music? Is there anything online that we can point out? Or is there anything we can add to a sample to this particular episode?
Well, unfortunately, the only projects we had finished were things about 5 or 6 years ago, and we've changed a lot since then.
You'd rather not.
Short answer, yes, we'd rather not. But we would like to finish something soon, and we would like to get up online. And I think if we keep the listeners posted on that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. So we'll try and do a brief follow-up maybe and introduce whatever you've managed to compose in the intro.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Okay.
And also if it would be possible to upload some of our tracks over the time period that we've been working together, it would be quite funny.
It would be funny
to see the evolution in music, and maybe that would maybe give some kind of idea of how we've both changed.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
And also pretty much at the same pace throughout the whole thing, and I think that's why our friendship has managed to endure for so long, is because we've generally been changing at the same pace, you know, going through similar parts of our life at the same time. I mean, obviously John did get a head start because he got married and a job, but
right, that was just a very unique set of circumstances that put me in a position where I could do all of that very quickly and just get it out of the way and move on with my life. But I don't know if things would have gone that way if I would have done that. If, you know, a very, very specific set of circumstances hadn't existed. But it's another thing that I joke about with Tim on occasion is that it's funny how if you look at our lives, there are some very interesting and unexpected parallels.
Mm.
And like we've been interested in the same things not even knowing it. I mean, obviously music was the first one. Recently, I started racing BMX bikes. And I told him, hey, you know, I race bikes. And he said, what, cycling, really? And I said, yeah. And he said, oh, I've been, you know, I'm into touring. And he, you know, about the same time he had gotten into cycling in a really major way.
Mm-hmm.
And earlier this year, he just completed, like, what, 250 miles? Across Europe or something unbelievable like that.
We did 700 miles, actually, so a bit more unbelievable.
he just completed a 700-mile bike ride, more or less. And it's just crazy to see. There's been a few other things like that. We both got into things at completely different times.
Mm-hmm.
Or no, at the same time, but in slightly, of course, in slightly different ways.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's kind of funny to me, but I'm not even really surprised by it.
That's amazing. Yeah. Well, let's hope we hear more of this. Maybe the next time you visit, it'll be a long cycle ride across Europe, and we can do a recording about that, perhaps.
That would be
That'd
interesting.
Be fun, yeah.
We could keep like an audio journal. Day 3. Legs will never move again. Heat stroke unbearable.
Okay, guys. Thank you very much.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All Binrev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution, Share Alike, 3.0 license.